This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1482. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded October 14th, another major shortwave station threatened with extinction. More cutbacks at Deutsche Welle, HLR, and Austria. Pirates from Europe and North America. DX from Laos, Nigeria, Oman, Somaliland, Andaman. Pending new schedules from Poland, Romania, Ukraine. Radio Havana goes haywire. Long-haul VHF DX and the propagation outlook. Several shortwave stations are calling it quits by the end of this year. But by far the most important is Radio Prague, Czech Republic. That is, the plug may be pulled on them. It's not yet certain. Mike Bearclough found out about this and circulated the news as widely as possible, and we think it's the most important story this week, so here we go. He heard from Jonathan Murphy, who said, "I've been in Prague and met David Vaughan, the former head of the English section. It has just been announced that the Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs is looking for Radio Prague to end all shortwave transmissions from the Czech Republic at the end of 2009. This would be an irreversible step. Radio Prague is the only customer at Litomyshl transmitter site, and this would result in its closing and dismantling." David has written a letter which he would like to be widely circulated, dated October 12th, to "Dear Friends of Radio Prague. You are probably not yet aware that the future of Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, is under serious threat. The station began shortwave broadcast in 1936 and has been broadcasting to the world ever since, except during German occupation. Like most international public service broadcasters, it's state-financed. It's paid for through the state budget via the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Radio Prague is facing a 20% cut in its budget for 2010. This does not seem like a mortal blow, but its impact will be devastating. The Foreign Ministry has stated explicitly that it considers shortwave to be an anachronistic means of broadcasting, and has called on Radio Prague to terminate shortwave broadcasts entirely from January. Radio Prague will continue primarily as a website. The saving to the state budget will be tiny. In order to save around half a mega euro, Radio Prague will end as a shortwave broadcaster after more than 70 years. In the course of my time as a BBC correspondent and then as editor-in-chief at Radio Prague until 2006, when I was also active in the European Broadcasting Union, I followed developments in international broadcasting closely. A number of international stations abandoned their roots in radio, nearly always at the bidding of bureaucrats rather than those involved in the stations themselves. Almost without exception, the outcome, sooner or later, was the demise of the station altogether. There are several reasons. One parallel is to compare the position with that of a newspaper, which stops appearing in paper form and maintains only a web presence. Although the trend towards digitalization is clear, that does not mean it's wise to throw out overnight all the advantages of producing a traditional newspaper. In the case of radio, the risks are still more evident, because public service broadcasting is a very specific medium with a distinct tradition and audience, and at its core is the spoken word. In the 7 decades of its existence, Radio Prague has built up a huge base of know-how and an impressive reputation internationally. It has built on the tradition in the 2 decades since the fall of communism, transforming into a thriving modern broadcaster. There can be little doubt that it has a far larger audience than any other Czech radio station, but unfortunately these listeners are scattered around the world and do not form a strong domestic lobby. Shortwave broadcasts are in decline, but they have to be seen as part of a broader mosaic. Today's international broadcasters have long been aware of the need to broadcast on a number of different platforms: shortwave, medium wave, FM, satellite, internet, and others. The more forward-looking have learned to be flexible and innovatory. The modern transformation at Radio Prague began over 15 years ago when it was one of the first international broadcasters to set up its own website in 1994, followed by a daily email news service and other innovations, and satellite broadcasting. Radio Prague has learned to be extremely cost-effective in 6 languages around the world for the equivalent of less than 3 mega euro a year. The news of the latest cuts puts the staff and management of Radio Prague in a difficult position. It will not be easy for them to launch a campaign to save the shortwave broadcasts, as they could find themselves facing the alternative of having to cut jobs instead. Given the amount of money needed to save shortwave is so small, I am convinced the cause is worth fighting for and that it does not have to be a case of pitching jobs against shortwave. If the decision makers in the government and at the ministry can be made to understand what is at stake, I am sure that the money can be found. I'm encouraging listeners around the world to rally behind Radio Prague at this difficult time, says David Vaughan. I've checked the website, radio.cz, and don't see anything about this, so I guess they're still reluctant to say anything, as it might look like it's self-serving. You can, however, write them with your support. The email address is cr@radio.cz. Or contact the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Czech Republic. Now, all this is published in detail in DX Listening Digest number 9076 via worldofradio.org. And, of course, there's some Czech names here which are quite difficult to spell out. There is an email address, however, for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I will spell that out. podatelna@mzv.cz. He also suggests contact Czech embassies and representatives in your own country. There is a list of Czech embassies at the Foreign Affairs Ministry website, which starts www.mzv.cz. A few of the times you can still hear Radio Prague on shortwave to North America, 7345 is the main evening frequency at 2230, midnight, 01, and 0300. I also get good reception earlier at 2130 UT on 11600. And of course, through a number of relays via WRMI on 9955, coming in well here since it's beamed northwest every morning at 14 UT on 9955. Lots of B09 seasonal schedules are coming out now, starting the last Sunday in October. And another change in the wrong direction appears in Deutsche Welle's schedule, or rather doesn't appear. No longer any Arabic broadcasts on shortwave, as Tariq Zaidan from Egypt quickly noticed. They will, however, still be on a number of FM frequencies in certain capital cities in Arab countries, none of them in Egypt. What are they thinking? With the exception of one particular day, October 9th, the extremely distorted blob being put out from the Aligarh transmitter of All India Radio has continued another week. It's the one that's supposed to be on 9470 with the national service opening at 1320 UT. Exactly where the blob appears varies from day to day. It's been as high as 9,500 and as low as 9,340, more or less. So the stations it ruins also vary. One day it was right atop Radio Australia on 9475. The B09 schedule of IRRS shows that Miraya FM from and for Sudan will finally be getting its additional morning broadcast on the schedule at 03 to 06 UT on 9835, along with unchanged evening broadcast at 15 to 18 on 15650. Thanks to Arnaldo Slein for sending that schedule. I expect this is news to Radio Japan, but they had a new relay station on approximately 6925 kilohertz, heard both October 8th and 9th, from 21 until sign-off at 21:29. Actually, of course, it was a North American pirate relaying, however, the current Radio Japan English program, reported by Harold Froge in Michigan and Rania Danyushko somewhere in Free Radio Weekly. Harold measured it on 6924.66, and it was in the AM mode. Martin Hroth in Netherlands tells us that Lao National Radio Vientiane on 7145 still has a foreign language service in the local mornings, although it's not been reported lately. He heard it October 7th, coming on the air at 23:29 and then into Vietnamese, a threshold signal, barely audible. He says the regular sign-off is at midnight 29 after a broadcast in Khmer. Over here, or at least on the West Coast, we can get the English broadcast at 13:30 on 7145, as reported by Walter Salmaniv in the Queen Charlotte Islands and Ron Howard in Asilomar Beach, California. I noticed that Hmong Lao Radio was missing from its usual Sunday slot on WHRI at 13UT on 11785. It was not even on the air October 11th. And I think they were also missing Saturday when also scheduled. So it remains to be seen if it's gone for good or they're just waiting for them to hurry up and pay their bills. Alokesh Gupta and Yimber Gaviria forward a story from AdoiMagazine.com about Malaysia's digital radio plans. According to this, RTM believes that for shortwave, the use of DRM is best. So maybe in the next few years, they'll be converting to DRM, although it seems unlikely considering the lack of DRM receivers. The Pirate Free Radio Service Holland, which may actually be in the Netherlands, has carried out some tests on the first two Sundays in October, so maybe they'll do it again on some unusual frequencies. You really need to be on their mailing list for the latest info. It's frs@frsholland.nl. Thanks to Alokesh Gupta for forwarding the latest details for their October 11th broadcast. They were on the air between 08 and 10 UT on 7600 and 7685. The same two frequencies tried again between 12 and 14 UT. FRC in Kaduna, Nigeria is being heard again, although with some difficulty. David Sharp in New South Wales reports it October 3rd at 2041 with continuous high life music, weak audio but readable, measured on 4769.966. I also heard it on approximately 4770 October 10th at 0552 with some choral music, a time signal at the top of the hour, and apparently into news. I could not be sure it was in English, as still it was quite undermodulated. Here's another unusual frequency for a pirate, this one in North America, the Crystal Ship. It's been using 5385.5 lately, and they also have a mailing list tipping off those who might like to hear them. Will Martin has forwarded that info, and we also see reports of reception in Free Radio Weekly from Rania Danishuld, Mike Rhoda in Ohio, and Bill Hassig in Illinois on October 6th and 7th at various times as early as 21:55 and as late as 23:25 UT. I frequently look for the English hour from Radio Sultanate of Oman on 15140 between 14 and 15 UT. Usually I hear nothing at all. However, on a couple of days lately, they were making it weekly into Oklahoma. October 12th and 13th, there is news in English on the half hour and then some Western music. It sounds like quite a modern station. They were even announcing some hotline phone numbers for something or other in Muscat. Here's another advanced look at a B09 schedule for Polish Radio External Service in English. There'll be quite a few changes. As usual, the two English hours shift one UT hour later with the end of DST in Europe, but they're changing transmitter sites and frequencies, not like what they were using last winter. At 13 UT on 11675 via Austria and 11860 via Wolverton, UK. At 18 UT on 6130 also via Wolverton and 9650 via UAE. Oh, I should point out that 6130 will be the center of the DRM band, 6125 to 6135. The others in analog. Here's another B09 schedule for Radio Romania International, only for the English broadcasts to North America. Once again, these have shifted, or will be shifting, one UT hour later. before we go off DST, just to cause as much confusion as possible. Half an hour at 21:30 on 6115 and 9755. And the others are 1 hour long at 23 on 6015 and 9610. A 100 on 6145 and 9800. And a Western North America at 0400 on 6130 and 7310. Thanks to Wolfgang Büschel for that schedule. The media magazine you monitor with your mind. World of Radio number 1482. Our address, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702 USA. Or WORADIO at yahoo.com may be used for contributions via PayPal. Our thanks for some financial support this week from Doug Tilley in Washington State. He sent a check in the mail. From Saudi Arabia, we have to depend on mistakes in order to hear an English broadcast, in North America at least, because the only intentional shortwave broadcast in English really doesn't make it around our sunrise. Bruce Fisher in Massachusetts found 17560 in English instead of scheduled Arabic at 1625 UT, still going at 1650 on October 9th. Since last week, we've had many more reports of the reactivated Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation. As I mentioned last week, they started off not being on the exact frequency, but lately, or shortly thereafter actually, they were on just about exactly 5020, according to numerous reports from North America and elsewhere. If you listen before 12 UT, you will hear their own programming. After that, it's relaying BBC World Service, and you can parallel that to 9740. I found they were a couple of words apart, but it's rather unsatisfying just to hear a BBC relay. Walter Samaniev has been DXing again, for 3 days anyway, when he's able to get away from his job as an obstetrician to the Queen Charlotte Islands off the coast, but part of British Columbia. Among his shortwave catches was Radio Hargeisa Somaliland on 7145. A presumed logging at port of fair level, October 11th at 1813, and it was off the air by 1900. Via Rusty X, we have the tentative B09 schedule for Radio Ukraine International, showing they will continue to use 7440 for North America. But as usual, moving their broadcast 1 hour later, so English will be at 0100 and 0400. Other English broadcasts will be at 20 on 7510, at 22 on 5830, 06 on 7440, and 10 and 12 UT on 9950, the others being for Russia or Western Europe. Low-power radio triumphs over big broadcasters in Washington, reports the Prometheus Radio Project on October 8th. The Local Community Radio Act was passed out of the House Subcommittee on Communications, Technology, and the Internet in a sweeping vote of 15-1. The act would allow creation of hundreds of new low-power FM radio stations that would broadcast community news and local perspectives to neighborhoods across the country. But of course, there are more steps to go through before it actually happens. An unusual off-season sporadic e-opening erupted on October 10th, bringing double-hop TVDX from Venezuela and Colombia into Northeast USA and Southeast Canada. Rob Ross in Ontario was picking up Channel 4 Venevision for over an hour in the local evening. And there were many other reports of that and some other stations in the area. Of course, it may not really be that unusual. The difference is that now there are very few U.S. TV stations left, no full-power stations in analog to block the DX. Some U.S. medium wave station is very out of order. Heard first October 13th between 13 and 14 UT on 4800. Signal was cutting on and off the air and quite distorted when it was on. Probably the third harmonic of some station on 1600 kilohertz. But 4800 could also be a harmonic of four other medium wave frequencies. I wonder if anyone else has any info on it. It seemed to be coming from Texas, but not the Metroplex. Another very good catch by Walter Salmaniv from the Queen Charlotte Islands was All India Radio, Port Blair, Andaman, and Nicobar Islands. Most of us would be happy to hear it on shortwave 4760, as he did October 12th at 1515. But he was only using that to positively ID their medium wave transmitter in parallel on 684 kilohertz, which he says was fading in at 1347 against Chinese interference and still mixing with China on that frequency, but he was able to get them parallel to shortwave. They were dominating 684 at 1521 UT and much better than on shortwave. Walter also looked for Radio Simban, that low-power Australian station in New South Wales, on 2368.5, but no show, three mornings running around 1300, so he really thinks they're not currently on the air. They were well heard when he was there 2 months ago. Andrew Janacek of Radio Free Asia is a frequent visitor to DX conventions, including the EDXC conference in Dublin in August. Alan Pennington, reporting on that to the British DX Club's communication, says Radio Free Asia QSL cards can now verify six specific transmitter sites rather than just two at first. Byblis, Germany, Kuwait, Saipan, Lampertheim, Germany, Tinian, and Sri Lanka. But other sites are still verified just as Asia, or even more vaguely as Other. They are keen to verify reports and issue new QSL designs every couple of months and have an automated online report at techweb.rfa.org. Another shortwave cutback has already happened. Radio Austria canceled its 5-minute Spanish broadcast at the end of September. Yes, there wasn't much, but it at least kept some contact open between Austria and Spanish-speaking countries. Thanks to Imer Gaviria for forwarding the complete text, as well as a link to the recording of that broadcast. It was a nice retrospective of the history of Spanish broadcasting from Austria by Manuel Aretrino. And he admitted that he was using a pseudonym, but did not tell us, even at the very end, his real name. However, Tomas Mendez in Spain knows his name. No wonder he was using it, since his real name is not Hispanic at all, Jan Bruja. Apparently he was the only one keeping it going, and it was time for him to retire. After barely a month on 17520 via WHRI, Voice of Biafra International was back on 15665, the same frequency it used during most of the summer when I checked Friday, October 9th, during the 19-20 UT broadcast, which is only on the air once a week. That propagates a bit better for us, but how about in the target area, where listeners are deprived of the current frequency on the website and in the announcements? Radio Havana, Cuba continues to amaze us with how many different things can go wrong with one station. A minor thing to start with, some of the transmitters, or maybe it's fewer transmitters than it would seem from the different frequencies, are developing a light squeal, as some U.S. stations also have that problem. At times I've noticed the squeal on 6060, 11760, and 13780. Then telephone ringing sounds started to be heard on many of their frequencies. Travers Devine in Maryland said, "Will someone answer the phone at RHC?" The sound of a telephone ringing on many of their frequencies between 0405 and 0415 UT on October 10th, 6000, 6060 and 6140. The amount of audio from the phone ringing varied by comparison to the modulation audio in English or Spanish. Furthermore, he and I both heard the same telephone ringing on 5898. That's one of the spy numbers frequencies, which everybody figured were at the same transmitter site as Radio Havana, Cuba, and that just confirms it. The phone ringing continued to appear on various frequencies and times for the next few days. A somewhat more serious problem attacked the old transmitter on 11760, which they're trying to run now 22 hours a day, obviously in dire need of some maintenance, or perhaps it needs to be buried. It's been putting out spurs at multiples of approximately 51.2 kilohertz above and below it. I was finding all these spurs both at night and in the mornings when I tune around. They were heard as low as 11145.6 and as high as 12323.2 kilohertz approximately. Now the two which are closest to 11760 are the strongest and have plenty of audio. You could assume they were intentional frequencies, but they're not. 11811.2, where I discovered it first, and 11708.8. I heard these first on October 10th, and they were still happening on October 13th. Terry Wilson in Michigan also found the phone ringing sound on an otherwise empty carrier October 13th at 1605 on 10715. I figured the explanation could be that some wires were crossed or too close to each other in the telephone exchange, carrying the audio from the studio to the transmitter, somehow getting into the feed circuit for the spy number stations as well. Keith Ferron, who used to work at Radio Havana, says the only thing it could be is that they're having trouble with their microwave link to the transmitters and they're feeding by phone line. Considering how advanced the Cuban phone system is, it may be some bad connection or someone insane is feeding the transmitters. It's Cuba. You just never know. Earlier I mentioned the European DX Council conference in Dublin, Ireland this August. Next year, if you'd like to plan ahead, it's going to be in Ankara, Turkey. Tentative dates, 30 September to 3 October. Alan Pennington said that in his report on this year's conference for the British DX Club. The head of the German section of the Voice of Turkey attended and spoke to the delegates in German, said she hoped to welcome us to Ankara for the 2010 conference. Her name is Dr. Ufuk Getsim. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued October 13th. A and K indices, mostly 5 and 2, up to 8 and 3 on October 24th and 25th. Solar flux peaking at 72 from October 16th to 30th and down to 69 by November 2nd. And that's World of Radio number 1482. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week.